got that James Dean kind of voice I like.
You're tuned in to the Wednesday Morning After Show with your host, Sheila Ferrando, and sound by Matthew Jackson on Radio CKUT 90.3 FM, Montreal, or online at ckut.ca.
Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The United Nations warns 1 million Afghan children could face starvation without immediate international aid after the Taliban completed its sweeping takeover of Afghanistan last month. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres spoke at a high-level UN donor conference in Geneva Monday.
The people of Afghanistan need a lifeline. After decades of war, suffering, and insecurity, they face perhaps their most perilous hour.
Monday's donor conference raised $1.2 billion in pledges for Afghanistan. The U.S., which spent over $2.3 trillion during its 20-year occupation and war with Afghanistan, pledged just $64 million in aid. On Capitol Hill, Secretary of State Antony Blinken defended the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, telling the House Foreign Affairs Committee no one in the Biden administration predicted the Afghan government would collapse while U.S. troops were still in Kabul. During his opening remarks Monday, Blinken said by remaining in Afghanistan, the U.S. military would have only delayed the Taliban's inevitable takeover.
There's no evidence that staying longer would have made the Afghan security forces or the Afghan government any more resilient or self-sustaining. If 20 years and hundreds of billions of dollars in support, equipment, and training did not suffice, why would another year, another five, another 10?
Blinken blamed the chaotic U.S. withdrawal on the Trump administration, saying, quote, "We inherited a deadline. We did not inherit a plan," unquote. At least two Republicans called on Blinken to resign. Blinken's testifying before the Senate Foreign Affairs Committee today. Coronavirus cases are back on the rise across the United States. More than 1,800 COVID-19 deaths were reported Monday, and the U.S. is confirming an average of more than 170,000 infections a day. That's up from last week, when the Labor Day holiday led to a gap in data about the U.S. outbreak. Here in New York, nearly 1 million public school students returned to classrooms Monday, most of them for the first time in a year and a half. Teachers are required to be vaccinated, though they have until September 27th to get their first shot. In Iowa, a federal judge on Monday issued a temporary restraining order blocking enforcement of a Republican-led ban on mask mandates in schools. The federal judge sided with parents of disabled students who argued their children were being denied equal access to education since they're at higher risk of COVID-19. In Florida, Republican Governor Ron DeSantis said he will fine city and county governments $5,000 per employee if they impose vaccine mandates. This, as new data shows, child COVID-19 deaths have doubled in Florida since students returned to school, many of them without mask requirements in place. Two prominent scientists who recently retired from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration are blasting the Biden administration's plans to approve third booster doses of COVID-19 vaccines to most U.S. residents. In a scathing critique published in the British medical journal The Lancet, Philip Krause and Marion Gruber write, quote, "Current evidence does not appear to show a need for boosting in the general population, in which efficacy against severe disease remains high. The limited supply of these vaccines will save the most lives if made available to people who are at appreciable risk of serious disease and have not yet received any vaccine," they write. Meanwhile, more than 140 Nobel laureates and former heads of state have signed an open letter calling on Germany to support a waiver of intellectual property rights for COVID vaccines. Their call comes as a World Trade Organization panel is set to convene this week to discuss a patent waiver, nearly a year after India and South Africa proposed the move, which would require the unanimous consent of all 164 WTO member nations. A handful of countries, led by Germany and the United Kingdom, have so far refused to agree to a patent waiver. Joining the call for a people's vaccine is Democratic Congressmember Ro Khanna.
This issue is so fundamental. If you believe that every human life has dignity and has moral worth, then we need to ensure that everyone has access to this vaccine. And a first step to getting people access to the vaccine is making sure that we're sharing the know-how of how they can build it.
Meanwhile, a new report contends the Biden administration could unilaterally share the recipe for Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine with the world. Public Citizen says the U.S. Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, known as BARDA, invested heavily in the development of Moderna's vaccine at taxpayer expense and has access to its entire vaccine recipe. That includes chemistry, manufacturing, and controls information that Public Citizen says could be shared with the World Health Organization. Hurricane Nicholas made landfall along the Texas Gulf Coast overnight as a Category 1 storm, bringing 75-mile-per-hour winds and a life-threatening storm surge of up to 5 feet. Forecasters say some parts of the region could see up to 20 inches of rain. There are widespread reports of power outages with nearly a quarter million Houston-area customers in the dark. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards declared a state of emergency, warning his state is still recovering from Hurricane Ida, which struck 2 weeks ago. Nearly 100,000 customers in Louisiana remain without power after Hurricane Ida. President Biden called Monday for urgent congressional action on the climate crisis during a tour of western states ravaged by wildfires. Biden visited the National Interagency Fire Center in Idaho before traveling on to Northern California, where he joined Governor Gavin Newsom for an aerial tour of damage from the Caldor Fire. Afterwards, Biden called on Congress to pass his $3.5 trillion spending plan, which includes money for a civilian climate corps and other measures to combat the climate crisis.
These fires are blinking code red for our nation. But we can't ignore the reality that these wildfires are being supercharged by climate change.
Climate justice groups seized on Biden's remarks, demanding the White House declare a climate emergency. Later on Monday, President Biden joined a campaign rally for Governor Newsom, who faces a right-wing recall effort to remove him from office. Polls in the recall election close this evening at 8 p.m. California time. Democrats on the House Ways and Means Committee unveiled legislation Monday that would raise income taxes on the rich and some corporations to pay for most of President Biden's proposed $3.5 trillion spending bill. The tax measure would raise the corporate tax rate from 21% to 26.5%. It would include a 3% surtax on U.S. residents making over $5 million a year. And it would restore the top rate of nearly 40% for high-income individuals and couples. The top capital gains rate would rise to just 25%, far short of the nearly 40% capital gains tax rate proposed by President Biden and supported by progressives. Speaking to PBS NewsHour, Senate Budget Committee Chair Bernie Sanders said he hoped the Senate would craft a more progressive tax plan.
At a time of massive and growing income and wealth inequality, when two people own more wealth than the bottom 40%, when the top 1% has more wealth than the bottom 92%, now is the time to ask the wealthy and large corporations to pay their fair share so that we can begin to address the long neglected needs of working families in terms of our children, in terms of healthcare, in terms of the elderly, and by the way, in terms of addressing the existential threat of climate change.
On Sunday, West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin insisted again he would not support Biden's $3.5 trillion spending package, calling the price tag too high. Manchin's support is crucial in the Senate, where Democrats have a razor-thin majority. Meanwhile, New York progressive Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez campaigned for progressive taxation on the red carpet at Monday's Metropolitan Museum of Art Gala in New York. AOC's white gown featured the words "Tax the Rich" in prominent red letters along its back. Israeli forces launched a third consecutive night of attacks on the Gaza Strip Monday after rockets were fired toward Israel. The Israeli military claimed it had targeted at least four Hamas sites. Meanwhile, Al Jazeera reports a Hamas spokesperson said the assaults were in response to the escape last week of six Palestinians from an Israeli maximum security prison. Two remain on the run. The Biden administration said Monday it'll withhold about 10% of the $1.3 billion in military aid the U.S. gives annually to Egypt, citing concerns over human rights violations. Nearly $1.2 billion of military assistance will continue to flow to Egypt, despite serious allegations of human rights abuses against the government of dictator U.S. ally Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. This comes as advocates are sounding the alarm on the worsening conditions faced by Egyptian activist and blogger Ala Abdel Fattah, who was returned to prison in 2019, just 6 months after being freed following a five-year sentence. Al-Fattah reportedly told Egyptian media, quote, "My situation is horrible, and I won't be able to continue like this. Get me out of this prison. I will kill myself," he said. Al-Fattah was a key leader in Egypt's 2011 uprising. Back in the United States, Capitol Police arrested a man who parked near headquarters of the Democratic National Committee in Washington, D.C. Monday with a machete and bayonet in his pickup truck. Officers charged 44-year-old Donald Craighead of Oceanside, California, with possession of prohibited weapons. His truck was emblazoned with a swastika and other white supremacist symbols. The arrest came less than a month after Capitol Police arrested a North Carolina man outside the Library of Congress who claimed to have a bomb in his truck. Police are erecting a temporary fence around the Capitol ahead of a far-right, pro-Trump, so-called Justice for J6 rally planned for this Saturday. Apple has released an emergency software update to fix a security flaw in its iPhones and other products researchers found was being exploited by the Israeli-based NSO group to infect the devices with its Pegasus spyware. Over 1.65 billion Apple products in use around the globe are vulnerable to the spyware since at least March. Apple said vulnerable devices could be hacked by receiving a malicious PDF file that users didn't even have to click, known as a zero-click exploit. The flaw was discovered by the University of Toronto's Citizen Lab, which found the hack in the iPhone records of a Saudi political activist. Earlier this year, a massive data leak revealed Pegasus software had targeted the phones of thousands of journalists, activists, and political figures around the world for foreign governments and NSO group clients. And a coalition of left-leaning parties is poised to form a new government in Norway after a landslide win Monday that ousted a center-right coalition that's held power since 2013. Labour Party leader Jonas Gahr Støre will become Norway's next prime minister. His coalition includes the Green Party, which campaigned to shut down Norway's oil production within a few years. Støre says his government will focus on dramatic cuts to carbon dioxide emissions to help fight the climate crisis.
So we will cut 55% of our emissions. That's a huge transition. So we have to really get going during these first 4 years and do that in a tangible way.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. When we come back, Islamophobia and the Politics of Empire, 20 years after 9/11. We speak with Rutgers professor Deepa Kumar. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Is This Where It Ends by Nabiha Iqbal.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday promises a light rain with a high of 21 degrees Celsius. Thursday will be sunny with a high of 23 degrees Celsius. Friday will be mainly sunny with a high of 26 degrees Celsius. Saturday will be the same. Sunday will bring a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 26 degrees Celsius. Monday will be sunny with a high of 27 degrees Celsius. Finally, Tuesday will be cloudy with sunny breaks and a high of 26 degrees Celsius.
I wake in the night to the sound of a city asleep. I walk to the window, see the streetlights dotting the trees. And in that moment, I want you by my side. And it comes over me like a wave, and I'm caught in the tide. But it's something I've always known. I pull out the photo we took at your cousin's birthday. You're sticking your tongue out at me while I'm kissing your face. And it suddenly scares me, 'cause I've never felt this before. But it's clear in my heart, it's a feeling that I can't ignore. 'Cause it's something I've in my heart, it flows right through my veins.
A
beautiful mystery that I could never explain. How a soul like yours could make me feel so alive.
Something I've always known.
cigarette butts off the sidewalk. I don't know why, don't know why I'm surprised. I'm not amazed by all the different ways of life. They try to tell you that there's more to life than music. I don't know why, don't know why I'm surprised. It's the same story, different lines. Try to brush it off. Just another day. Just another day that you got through. Same way people all around are more or less the same. More or less the best and worst of you. Well, life will tell you one lesson. Even if deep down you're screaming, your fragile egos can't be hard to recognize, with a hurricane coming up from the inside, eyes puffing up from the weight of all you know there will be. Reality can't be hard to find. Well, it's the same story, different lines. You can try to brush it off as just another day, just another day that you got through. Same way people all around are more or less the same. More or less the best and worst of you. Well, life will tell you one lesson. Even if deep down you're streaming, help please let me. We'll tell you it won't listen, even if deep down you're screaming, help please let me go on believing. Picking up cigarette butts on the sidewalk. Picking up cigarette butts on the sidewalk. Picking up cigarette butts on the sidewalk.
By the light of the moon. butter yellow, swirling pastels in a starlit cafe. Pass on through the light. Pass on through the light. Surprise that we're alive. The bird, the breeze, the leaves, the waving sea. Afternoons of light. Afternoons of light.
You're listening to Radio CKUT 90.3 FM Montreal or online at ckut.ca.
Take a deep breath of fresh air through your nose. Now imagine doing the very same underwater. It just wouldn't work. This week on In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, we ask, why do fish have nostrils?
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
Hello and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized, informative podcast that aims to answer the mysteries of the world in the time it takes you to have a shower.
Have you ever wondered why we put Christmas trees up?
Or why our hair goes grey?
Or do plants have feelings?
Or why human beings love music so much?
If you've wondered the answers to any of those questions, well, good news. We've answered them and we've answered a ton more. Check out our back catalogue on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. And we're about to answer a new question today.
This week on In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, we tackle, why do fish have nostrils?
So step into the shower cubicle with us and prepare to learn some fish nostril things.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
So this is a question that comes from the one, the only, the unbeatable Marcus O'Leara.
That is me. I am asking the question this week, and this one's been in the reserves.
Come here to me, Marcus. How exactly did you come up with this question? Like, give us a window into your brain.
So a couple of weeks ago, somebody messaged me on Spotify with another question related to fish.
Messaged you on Spotify?
Not on Spotify. Sorry, on Instagram. Show me a message on Instagram. With a fish-related question, and I was kind of looking into it, and I still have to answer it. The question was just how do hammerhead sharks exist? Because, like, they're a mad-looking creature.
Mad-looking creature.
And then I was looking at pictures of fish, and I was like, why do fish have nostrils? Basically, if anyone wants an insight into my day-to-day routine, I was just looking at pictures of loads of different fish. I was looking at sharks. I was looking at, like, koi carp. I was looking at manta rays. I was looking at eels.
And they all have nostrils.
They all have nostrils, which is mad because, like, you know, I thought that nostrils kind of gave us the, like, fish have gills.
Yeah.
So, like, it's kind of cheating that they have nostrils as well. Like, you know, you can get, like, I don't know if it, like, breathing in through your nose. Also, I have a bit of a blocked nose, so anyone who's listening to that might just be like, but.
Well, thank you, Marcus, so much for asking the question. Every time that we're running short on questions to answer, I'm afraid that the podcast will just die. Like, so often people ask us what we're going to do when we've answered all of the questions. But in all honesty, the questions just keep coming.
Also, like, imagine just being like, we have reached the point where we have answered all of the questions.
That is the aim, isn't it?
Like, just like,
that can be on our gravestone.
Do you know, that's
have what, answered all of the questions.
That's
has
what
answered.
A pantomath is somebody who knows everything.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's a hypothetical concept of somebody who knows absolutely everything in the universe is a pantomath. Yeah, but I mean, like, that's the beautiful thing about humanity is that we're curious, and curiosity is what makes us people, and curiosity is what drives this podcast. And every one of you listeners must be curious if you're listening to this podcast. So you're just great.
You're a great bunch.
Beautiful.
Long may the questions continue. Okay, so to kick this investigation off, I love that my investigation is investigating fish nostrils. But yeah, to kick this investigation off, to find out why exactly fish do have nostrils, we first have to ask, can fish smell?
Fish can smell really bad if it's not fresh, if it's just left out in the sun for a bit. Like, yeah. Oh, you mean
do they have a sense of smell?
Can they pick up scent? Yeah, well, do you know what, like, We answered a question a couple of weeks ago about whether water has a taste.
Can you remember what that was in short?
Yeah, it was basically like the mineral composition of... No, it wasn't. What was it again? Oh, God.
We answered this question live at EP, actually. It was... Remember they did a science experiment on the tongues of little tiny mice?
Ah, yes.
And they found that actually it... pinged the sour sensory section of the tongue, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that thus made our bodies more primed to receive hydration. That's why basically electrolytes have an acid in them, and electrolytes are better at hydrating you. So that's what I wonder. I mean, like, but you know what I said there about mineral composition and the fact that, like, all water has different minerals in it. Do fish run around going, ooh, this is a bit sulfury if they're around Iceland, or are they up in Wicklow being like,
has this been passed through a Brita filter?
Exactly. The limestone deposits in here are just marvellous, Mildred.
But, does water have a smell, and can fish smell it? Do you think that fish have a sense of smell?
I kind of think so. Like, I know that do you know what the thing that I'm thinking of is, like, I saw Jaws recently.
Yeah.
I hadn't watched it in years. So the whole, like, sharks can smell a drop of water in the ocean.
A drop of blood in the ocean.
Or a drop of blood. Yes, a drop of water in the ocean. That would be the most overwhelming thing of all time. Just like, it's everywhere! No, yeah, they can detect a drop of blood in the ocean. It's something like 200 miles away or something.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, I assume that they can smell kinda.
Okay, well, Esther DeFillis, the professor at the Department of Piscobiology,
yeah.
At the Complutense University of Madrid, has written an article all about fish nostrils, which
really?
Is just fantastic. But
do you know what? Before you say anything, like, what I love about this podcast is finding that somebody has done a PhD about everything.
Fish nostrils.
Genuinely.
Like, this professor wrote an amazing article investigating fish nostrils.
Esther DeFillis of the Piscobiology at Complutense University in Madrid, fish nostril expert.
She is who we have to thank for this episode. And she said that although it may seem strange, fish can smell, and actually they have a very good sense of smell. Many people think that the sense of smell only detects volatile molecules, and therefore it is not possible to smell inside water.
Volatile molecules as in stuff that can be vaporized.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of people think that it's impossible to smell inside water. However, smell has more to do with the sensory system involved, in this case the olfactory system, with the olfactory epithelium and their brain connectors, than the properties of the actual stimulus itself. Terrestrial animals detect volatile chemical substances with their olfactory system and dissolved chemicals using the sense of taste. But fish detect dissolved substances with both the taste and the smell senses.
So their smell and taste senses are kind of one. So they
exactly, they
detect stuff with smell and taste together.
Exactly. And that's why historically fish were believed not to be able to smell. This was until about 1924 when Fritz Strike demonstrated the olfactory capacities of the common minnow, which is a type of fish. What?
I just love finding out all these little...
Minnow, I know.
Not, like, I know what a minnow is, but like... For the olfactory capabilities of the common minnow. Like, that is... What a... Oh, yeah. Good old Fritz Strike.
But ever since many studies have been carried out which show the extraordinary olfactory sensitivity of a fish.
So a fish can smell and taste, and that's why they have nostrils.
Fish have one or two pairs of nostrils through which water flows into the nasal cavity, and then inside the nasal cavity, we find the olfactory epithelium with the sensory cells that detect the molecules that are dissolved in the water. So most fish species have very sensitive olfactory receptors capable of detecting the presence of molecules even in very low concentrations.
So what do fish use this sense of smell for? Like, are there some fish who are having like a really bad BO day, or like, you know, some fish who don't want to go near like where another fish has pooed because it kind of fish smells
bad?
Well,
honestly, it depends kind of on every species what exactly they use their sense of smell for, but it has been proved that they use it for finding food. That's a fact which fishermen take advantage of.
I suppose throwing in bait and chum.
Exactly. They also use it to find a mate.
Mm-hmm. Imagine that, like, in a David Attenborough documentary, that carp was attracted to a mate because she can smell that he was wearing Armani 1 million.
But yeah, they do use their sense of smell to find a mate and for recognising other fish of the same species, detecting predators, or for orientation, which is a really, really cool one. So salmon actually recognise their birth river by smell.
No way!
Yeah.
It's almost like a dog finding its way home.
Yeah, exactly. And it's recently been proved that young fish from many coral reef species, if carried away by the currents, are capable of finding their way back to their birth reef by using just their sense of smell.
So really, Nemo couldn't have been that lost.
He yeah, exactly.
Just had a little sniff.
Disney Pixar unveiled. But yeah, fish larvae as small as a couple of millimetres. So a couple of millimetres are, there's 10 millimetres in a centimetre. So a couple of millimetres is tiny. Mm. But fish as small as that have noses strong enough to smell their way home.
What? Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
So now we know fish have nostrils because they too can smell. And they use that sense of smell to find food, find mates, find their way home, detect predators, and loads of other reasons. Kind of, you know, normal reasons that you'd use your nose for, except
yeah,
on a fish.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of expecting this episode to go into evolution and stuff, which I kind of went into because, of course, fish have evolved from something and what it evolved from had nostrils. But at the end of the day, why do fish have nostrils to smell and they use their sense of smell, as you just said, for the exact same reasons that we use our sense of smell?
Hmm. Right. So, listen, that's I am actually slightly blown away by that. There you go. The knowledge is power. And the next time I see a fish, I'll be like, yo, mate, you smell.
Oh.
And I'll be like, yes, I do. So any fishy facts to end the episode?
Fishy fact time! Some fish, like sharks, don't possess an air bladder to keep them afloat and must either swim continuously or rest at the bottom of the ocean.
Rest at the bottom of the ocean.
So they can't float. They either have to be swimming or they have to be at the bottom.
Wow, that's actually very, so sink or swim, literally.
Literally, yeah. Mm-hmm. Another one, fish use a variety of low-pitched sounds to convey messages to each other. Because when I was actually looking into this, another question that I thought about is, you know, how do animals, how do horses talk, how do dogs talk? But this is how fish talk. So they moan, grunt, croak, boom, hiss, whistle, creak, shriek and wail.
That's actually exactly how lads from Carlow communicate.
They rattle their bones and gnash their teeth. However, fish do not actually have vocal cords. They use other part of their bodies to make noises, such as vibrating muscles against their swim bladder, which is the bladder that sharks don't have.
Okay, yeah. Very good. Last fact.
So electric eels and electric rays, you've been told growing up to stay away from them or like keep an eye out for them.
Yeah, do you know what? I was taught growing up, I honestly thought that electric eels would pose far more of a threat to my everyday life.
Yeah, then.
Like, same
That's
with sharks.
That's so true.
Same with sharks. Like, everyone's like, you can't go near them. It's like... As a kid, I was like, okay, well, I better not reach into like that section of the shelf in the shop just in case there's an electric eel behind the Frosties. Or like, I don't. It's the same with like swans breaking arms. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Anybody, I don't know. I don't believe it.
I don't know.
Think. Anyway,
like, do you know what? So electric eels and electric rays.
We were told the right thing because electric eels and electric rays have enough electricity to kill a horse.
What?
I know, yeah. So you'd be fried, Marcus. You'd be a battered Marcus over there.
Zap.
In the show, there's a Marcus. 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 In the show, there's a Marcus.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to that episode of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. It was a proper, small, bite-sized one. A lot of our ones recently have been very deep and meaningful and have been longer. But we thought we'd just throw in a small, simple, chunky, nice, simple fact episode.
There you go. Yeah, that was fun.
Thanks for asking the question, Marcus.
Do you know what? It's okay.
Guys, if you have any questions, just like Marcus, that you would like us to tackle and do some research into and debunk and relay to the masses, if you have any question that you would like us to do that for, then please, please, please send them on to our Facebook page, Marcus.
Just look up In the Shower with Taz and Marcus on Facebook. If you're on Instagram, look up In the Shower Pod. Same for Twitter.
And if you want to send a question via email, just send it to intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com.
We love hearing from you. If you have a question, you just want to say hi, or as tradition dictates, if you want to send us pictures of your dogs or pets, as lots of you have done, and we've got an all variety of pets. We've got dogs, cats, pigs, snakes, parakeets, fish with nostrils. please do.
We've also said that for the 2 weeks over Christmas, for anybody who sends in a question, In the Shower are going to donate €2 to Inner City Dublin Helping the Homeless, because there's a huge homeless crisis going on in Dublin at the moment that we want to try to do our bit for. So for every single person that sends in a question, we're going to donate €2. So if you're listening to this and you have any question whatsoever, if you send it in to us, you'll be doing your bit to help some charity.
Big or small. And the questions can be asked from anywhere. It doesn't matter if you are in Timbuktu. You ask the question, you help a homeless person in Dublin.
A few thank yous to wrap up the episode.
A few thank yous. A massive thank you to Alan and Paddy and all the crew in the Head Stuff Podcast Network. You guys are doing great work and we love you very much.
Next up, thank you so much to Flo Robinson for our lovely cover art.
And a little final thank you to the musical mastermind behind our theme songs, Dave Gertzman. Dave, you are the man.
Next week's question, Marcus.
Next week's question is for all the rockers, the boppers, and the show stoppers out there.
Oh,
there you go. Next
what
week,
is it?
Next week's question is actually pretty cool. How does an electric guitar work?
That episode is going to be out next Monday in time for your morning shower. But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
In the shower with Des and Marcus. 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 In the shower with Des and Marcus.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Sarah's excited to celebrate her birthday at a restaurant. She's thought about it all week. She invited her friends, she got a new dress, she went to the restaurant. She wasn't allowed in the restaurant. She had to put away her new dress. She couldn't see her friends. And she thought about it all week.
Don't wait until it hits you. Get vaccinated. A vaccination passport is now required to enter certain public spaces. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Just a knee into a stone cold bitch who cries at night when emptiness doesn't feel so full anymore. But
hey, what a great week with the Wednesday Morning After. See you next week for more interviews, podcasts, and music. Keep listening to CKUT. Thank you.
Band play live. He's thought about it all week. He bought his ticket. He wore his band t-shirt. He went to the concert venue. He wasn't allowed inside the concert venue. He put away his band t-shirt. He threw away his ticket. And he thought about it all week.
Don't wait until it hits you. Get vaccinated. Beginning in September, you'll need a vaccination passport to enter certain public spaces. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Pop Montreal International Music Festival is celebrating its 20th anniversary from September 22nd to 26th, 2021. 5 days of music, films, art, crafts, panels, and more, featuring Cakes Tequila, Backwash, The Besnard Lakes, The Deers, Handsome Eli, and more. Tickets on sale now at popmontreal.com.
Shooting things.
things were shifting through the walls and halls. The weather was a call for the quiet friend.